Well, good morning, Westbrook. I'm glad we're all here. I've got a good lesson today. So let's begin by prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask you that you would open our hearts and our minds that we could understand and we could receive what it is that you want to impart to us this day. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. My title is Renewing the Mind with the Word of God. In the past few weeks, the process of renewing the mind has already begun. That's provided we received what we have covered thus far. There is a scripture that says, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And that's how we approach renewing our mind. It's not going to happen overnight. So we must not become discouraged. Joyce Meyer puts it this way: when the battle seems endless and you think you'll never make it, remember that you are reprogramming a very carnal, fleshly, worldly mind to think as God thinks. Impossible? No. Difficult? Yes. But just think, you have God on your team. I believe he is the best computer programmer around. Your mind is like a computer that has had a lifetime of garbage programmed into it. God is working on you if you have invited him to have control of your thoughts. He is reprogramming your mind. Just keep cooperating with him and don't give up. It will definitely take time and it won't be easy, but you are going in the right direction if you choose God's way of thinking. You will spend your time doing something, anything, so it may as well be going forward and not staying in the same mess for the rest of your life. She has a really good way of putting it, doesn't she? The first week, we learned that salvation is not based on how we feel or even our actions, but rather on the Word of God and how God was sent to earth as a sacrifice for sin, and his dying on the cross and resurrection from the dead secured our salvation if we would only believe and confess. Thus, we now belong to the family of God. See, that's one process that we were going through, renewing the mind to what the Word says. We now belong to the family of God. I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures today. I don't want you to turn there. I think there's going to be one that we'll turn to, but just jot them down and go over them this week. Jot down 1 John 3, 1 through 3. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. So see, we don't doubt our salvation anymore because we have replaced the doubts caused by our feelings and so forth with the Word of God. And we also learned that we are a three-part being. And today, we will see how future renewing of the mind is another step toward spiritual maturity. The second week, we learned about how God is many things to the believer, okay? We spent time on salvation, that we have already renewed our mind. So if a thought comes in, I really don't know if this salvation thing is real, you have the foundation of the Word. That part has already been renewed. And, you know, he's more than just salvation to us, isn't he? We need to learn all of the things that's provided with knowing him. We need to learn him as our healer, our peace, our comforter, all of the things that he wants for us. And that all comes with the renewing of the mind. And then remember, on top of all that, he wants to be our friend. Imagine that. And the third week, we saw how becoming more like Jesus requires being spirit-led rather than being led by the soulish desires. And the emphasis was on the fruit of the Spirit. Now think about the fruit. Fruit doesn't just happen automatically. Fruit starts as a seed. Remember the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, all of those. Go back and renew. It doesn't happen automatically. You learn to grow in that. You allow the Spirit of God to teach you. And so it's a growth process. The whole thing we're talking about, this walk with the Lord, is a growth process. And the last week was on the power of the word. You know, Jesus said when the devil came, and why did the Spirit lead him to the wilderness to be tempted? So that he knew his reason for coming, not to be king of this world, but to come as a lamb, to offer his life as a sacrifice for sin. And how did he overcome? Because he spoke the word, it is written. So I want to read Romans 12, write it down, Romans 12, the first two verses. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In this passage, the Apostle Paul is saying that if we want to see God's good and perfect will proven in our lives, we can if we have our mind renewed. Renewed to what? Well, renewed to God's way of thinking. How many of you have realized that our thoughts are not always his thoughts? We know that for a fact. See, by this process of new thinking, we will be changed and transformed into what God has for all believers, to see and understand more fully his ways, so that we won't always be battling against him. We will be conformed to his ways. Christians, of course, are to be different from the non-Christian society. We should experience a progressive transformation of life, and that comes about, of course, by the renewing of the mind. And the mind is changed as we pray, as we read, begin to understand the word, reflecting on what the word truly says, by our worship, by meditation on God's acts as the Holy Spirit works in us. See, Jesus has made this possible by his death and resurrection. It becomes a reality in our lives by the process of renewing of the mind. Write down Romans 8:5. It says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, I need to stop and be quick to say that right thinking, honestly, has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation, we know, is solely based on the sacrifice of Jesus. His blood cleanses us from all sin. The renewing of the mind is what helps us become overcomers in this life. And isn't that what we lack? How to become overcomers in this life. Okay, Philippians 4, verse 8, write it down. And let's see what things we are supposed to fill our minds with. it says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Let's stop. True. How many of you know that if you watch TV news, you don't always get what's true? You listen to somebody's opinion about something. You might agree, you might disagree. It's not always true. The truth is found one place you can always rest assured. It's in the Bible. Noble, just, pure, lovely. You know, what do you watch on TV? What do you read? I read all kinds of things. A good report. You know, I think it might be a good idea to think about what it is we think about. I want to tell you how I begin my mornings. My mind gets cluttered with all kinds of things through the day. And I want to start my day the way I want my day to go. And so I get up first thing in the morning and I start. I have a lot of things to pray about, but I start with a little devotion that I found years ago. And almost every morning I read this. And this prayer has become so important to me. And then I begin to pray my own prayers. And then I get in the Word asking God to lead me. But listen as this just clears my mind. So listen to this prayer that I pray almost every morning. It says, good morning, Lord. The only way I know how to thank you for this beautiful new day you've given me is to let it be your day. I give it back to you, Lord, asking you to live it through me, just as you live through the Apostle Paul, who said, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's Galatians 2:20. You see, Lord, within myself, I don't measure up. I can't keep those two great commandments you gave, to love you with all my heart, mind, and soul, and to love my neighbor as myself. I can't even love myself, Lord, much less others, except through the power of your Holy Spirit who dwells within me. So this morning, Lord, I ask, may my words be your words, O Lord. May my thoughts be your thoughts. May my love be your love poured out as healing balm on the wounds of all those I meet today. Lord, I yield myself to you for this day. I won't say that I'm committing every day of the rest of my life to you, because these days aren't within my grasp yet. Right now, all I have is today. So that's what I'm giving you. I proclaim you, Lord, of the next 24 hours. I pray this in your name, Jesus, and for your sake, amen. That's the way I start most every morning. And then I pray, and then I ask God to direct me as I study and as I meditate on his word. But you know, I find worry is the biggest thief to right thinking. You know, all of the what-ifs of life that keeps our mind cluttered with different scenarios played out over and over. I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew 6. And I'm going to be reading verses 25 through 33. Everybody in Matthew chapter 6. My heading simply says, do not worry. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I had a worrisome week, I tell you what. But the point is made that worry is useless. It does not accomplish any good thing. So why do we do it? We all worry. Well, Satan uses worry to keep us occupied so that we waste valuable time that could be used to accomplish much for the kingdom. Plus, worry in the mind ultimately become words we speak, which often go contrary to the very thing that we're praying for and believing. So see, worry in the mind ultimately comes out of the mouth, and that negates what it is that we're believing for. So we sabotage our own selves. See, the cycle goes on and on. The mind plays an important part in our victory. So isn't it time to break the cycle? So how do we do that? I'm here to tell you, there's no instant fix. It is a day-to-day decision to learn to trust God and spend time with him in the Word, learning to trust more and worry less. So we have to get in the Word, and we need to learn to see things God's way. For instance, when everything seems to be going wrong, think of Romans 8:31. Write it down. Which tells us, if God be for us, who can be against us? Learn to make those promises personal. Say, God, you are for me today. So what can come against me? Because you are for me. See, you're making the word personal. Let's continue on. Romans 8, verses 35 through 39. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, make it personal. We said that he's for us, so we say nothing that comes against me today is going to defeat me, because you live in my heart and I am an overcomer. God loves us. God's love is based on nothing that we do. So that makes his love secure. were it based on anything we do, and that anything were to collapse, then God's love would collapse. It would crumble as well. But that cannot possibly happen. And once we realize that, we can live worry-free. Remember the story of Atlas? You know, he had the world on his shoulders. Well, I think that's a picture of many Christians. We think we have to carry all of this on our shoulders. But that's not the way. What does God say? His yoke is easy and his burden is light. We're to cast our care upon him because he cares for us. That's what 1 Peter 5:7 says. Make it personal. God, you care for me and I can trust you today. And one final scripture. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Make it personal. Jesus, you live within me. I don't care what the world has. You are greater than anything that's going to come against me today. See, when you open your Bibles and you see something, make it personal. Well, I trust you've written down these scriptures that I went over this morning. I want you to read them over this week. Let the Holy Spirit make them real to you. I want to end with a poem that I want it to be our prayer this morning. This was written by Kate Wilkinson, and the title is The Mind of Christ, My Savior. Make it your prayer today. It says, may the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph, but only through his power. May the peace of God, my Father, rule my life in everything, that I may be calm to comfort the sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea, him exalting, self abasing. This is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win. And may they forget this channel, seeing only him. I've ran across that and I love it. I love it. Well, that's all I have to say. And we have about 4 minutes. Anybody want to comment on what we went over today? I'm sorry? The poet's name, I will tell you, Kate Wilkinson. And the title is The Mind of Christ, My Savior. And I was going to make a copy of the prayer that I pray each morning, but the computer went down, the printer went down, I have nothing. Talk about a worrisome week. But anyway, I think Geek Squad is coming, all will be well. Anybody? I will, once I get things up and running, I will do it, because I find that it sets the tone for what I don't like to use other people's prayers, but this, I've used it for years, and it clears my mind and gets me focused. Well, Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this simple message. I thank you, Lord, that we have hungry people, Lord. We all want to grow together. We want to be what it is that you've called us to be. I thank you, Father, for attentive ears. I thank you, Lord, that you write these words on our heart. Teach us, Father, step by step, that we may become strong in you. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week is going to be, what's it going to be next week? It's going to be, if I can get my computer back. Relationship versus religion. Religion versus relationship. I've got a lot to say about that.